Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for faith builders. You'll find daily good news reflections on the Scriptures of Mass, written by Terry Modica, to help you in your everyday life and struggles. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to the Great Big Wednesday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I'm fired up for this show. We got two great hours for you. Carlo's going to be here second hour, and we're going to talk about a rational approach to God's existence. That is, can we reason our way to knowing, or at least having a very good idea that God exists? I'll give you a hint. Yes. This hour, however, we welcome back a very good friend of this program and everybody here, Scott Wieman, and we're going to talk about addiction and healing from a Catholic perspective. So if you have questions in that regard relating to your family, your friends, or yourself, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. A recovering addict himself, Scott is the founder of a nonprofit organization called Catholic in Recovery, which brings hope to those who struggle finding freedom from the bondage of their addictions. The organization also helps people from all walks of life strengthen their personal relationship with Jesus Christ through practical application of the 12 steps. Scott's also the author of a book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, from Ave Maria Press. Hello and welcome back,
Scott. Great to be here.
And you look surprisingly awake for a man with a baby.
I'm ready to go here today.
Okay, good. Yeah. And the wife and baby are doing well?
They're doing great. Yeah, the baby's almost 14 months old. Both my wife and daughter Dorothy are gifts of recovery and the grace of Jesus that I found through the sacraments in the church.
It's a great sign of hope, isn't it? I mean, and we have to. It's like you shall know them by their fruits. And the fruits of the 12 steps and the sacraments in your life include marriage and daughter now.
Yeah. It's a great gift. I mean, of course, I think that, you know, I speak to it in the I think the sixth or seventh chapter of my book, The Sacrament of Marriage, and how that strengthens my recovery and how certainly helps rid oneself of selfishness.
Yeah.
And
Work for my wife. No, I'm just kidding. That's only a joke, Scott. Sorry. Hope she's not listening. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Let me just ask you this. In a lot of parishes, you might see, on a certain night of the week, they'll have a 12-step group. Maybe it's Alcoholics Anonymous, maybe Narcotics Anonymous or something meeting there. But they're also, you could go sometimes to a rec center or a secular place and those meet there. Is there, to the 12 steps, Is this just something that's tolerable to a Christian, or does it have something that fits with the Christian understanding of life?
Yeah, I think that varies. I mean, I think that in its purity and in its essence, 12-step fellowships are very Christian in nature and, you know, collide with faith in a way that it provides an outlet for to catch many people, of believers and non-believers.
Right.
When I began my journey in recovery, I was certainly not in a place where I had I would not consider myself a devout Catholic or have a really strong relationship with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But that was something that was, you know, in fact, I was a little bit ashamed of my lack of relationship and not even sure how to enter into a relationship with either the church, Jesus, fellows of, you know, Christian fellows.
Right.
And that by way of just experiencing other people sharing their experience, strength, and hope certainly helped out. But I think that when we see, you know, even I think that Catholic churches hosting 12-step meetings is a great step in a direction and really unifies, you know, two kind of entities. Both have saved my life. that run pretty parallel with each other.
888-318-7884, the number. Scott Wieman, our guest. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. You can also call if you have particular questions about Catholic in Recovery. It is a growing organization. Where are you growing?
Yeah, so we started, our first meeting was held, started here in San Diego about 2.5 years ago, January 2017. Now we have groups all over the country in about 10 to 12 different states here throughout California. We have a couple of groups in the Sacramento area, in Portland, Oregon, just started a group in Eugene, Oregon, as well as in Fallon, Nevada, and then throughout the Midwest, in the Diocese of Winona, Rochester, in Harrison, Ohio, is a small town in the Diocese of Cincinnati, Columbus, Ohio, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and elsewhere, spreading throughout the country.
Okay, and so give me the web address real quick so that if somebody says, hey, I think I am the person to start this in my parish or my diocese, where can they go?
So you go to CatholicInRecovery.com, and you'll find one of the menu tabs, one of the menu headers says meetings, and that will drop down to two options. One, either find a meeting, which gives you a directory of all of our recovery meetings around the country. And also another option is start a meeting, where you can submit an inquiry to begin a Catholic in Recovery fellowship in your community or at your parish.
888-318-7884. The number, lines are filling up and being screened as we speak. So you want to dial if you want to get in on this conversation with Scott. If you have your own addiction problems you would like to discuss, those of a family member, a friend, or just a more general question, you're welcome to do so. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. There's a, I guess the thing now is opiate addiction. We see a great deal on with opiate addiction. Mm-hmm. So when you say Catholic in Recovery, do you mean recovery from alcohol addiction, drug addiction? What's the gamut of things people might be in recovery from?
Very broad. So substances, alcohol, drugs, pornography and sex, behavioral type of addictions or attachments. Some might not call a pornography addiction an addiction, or maybe can refer to it as a compulsion.
Yeah.
Semantics are fine.
Got to recover from either one of them.
Exactly. Broaden it, say, addictions and unhealthy attachments.
Yeah, yeah.
Compulsive overeating, gambling, shopping. Of course, also just the attachment to other people. Some might identify that as codependency or the need to find one's own happiness through the happiness or satisfaction of other people.
Right.
A variety of things. And we found, and even people dealing with grief, depression, anxiety, find hope and new life in our groups.
So I go there. Let's say I'm gambling is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or it's just that I'm attached to gambling. It's harming my life. Maybe I'm even in a Gambling Anonymous program or something. But what happens when I come to a Catholic in Recovery meeting?
So we have a couple different types of meetings. We have general recovery meetings where people of all different types of addictions or people with recovering from a variety of unhealthy attachments will be in a room together, finding the same solution. Problems may be a little bit different. I would say different symptoms of the same type of problem.
Yeah.
But the solution being generally the same. And the way that we operate when both active in our addictions or unhealthy attachments and the process of recovery, very, very similar. We can see a lot of similarities in just that shared experience, strength, and hope. But also you'll find people who, in recovery, or just maybe some have been sober for a very long time and are seeking to really blend the relationship that they have with the church and Jesus with their recovery. Oftentimes find, and this dates to your first question about what's the marriage like between the church and recovery.
Yeah.
In some instances, many people find that in secular recovery groups, there is not a whole lot of opportunity to wholeheartedly discuss our faith.
Okay.
So we may be able to, generally share the nature of our faith, but when coming to speaking of things like our relationship with Mary or praying the rosary or other traditions that we might use both as to strengthen our faith and to unite us with our recovery, that might be a little bit off topic or off limits in some groups. Again, this differs and changes regionally in some areas or just from meeting to meeting. But those that are seeking Catholic in Recovery fellowships are often coming and sharing that, I don't really feel all that comfortable sharing about my faith in a secular recovery group.
Fair enough. Again, Scott Wieman is our guest. He is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. If you have questions about addiction, you are welcome to call today, 888-318-7884. We'll start with Erica in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Erica, your question for Scott. Hi, Erica.
Oh, can you hear me?
We can.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, quick question here. So I just got off work and turned on the radio and was, because this one thing has been plaguing me. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I converted to Catholicism, and I take Eucharist, but I have not been taking the blood of Christ. And sometimes that makes me worried that I have a lack of faith in God.
So
that's fair.
So may I just ask you, why do you not take from the cup? Is it because you're afraid of relapsing into alcoholism?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. That's a great question. Scott? Yeah.
So that's a great question. Something that when I first got sober and was, you know, began myself, finding myself involved in the church, really coming back to the church, was something that I had questions about. My sponsor, who is Catholic, this was something that I had a discussion with him with. He actually shared that at times he would take from the cup. I recall that I was, you know, I thought that I would do this on Good Friday Mass, as this seemed appropriate, and the time to do it. And you know what? The first time that I did that, I took a sip, and just the hint of that warmth that comes from drinking alcohol started to kind of, you know, maybe 30 seconds, 60 seconds later, as I was getting back to the pew, was just a hint of that was starting to come. And that was enough for me to say, this is maybe not the right thing for me to be doing. Also understanding and speaking with my pastor and clergy and doing some research on, am I receiving the fullness of the Eucharist if I'm just taking the body or taking the host?
Right.
And the answer that I found was that, yes, I am receiving the fullness of the divinity of Christ.
Yeah, yes. Your body, blood, soul, and divinity present under both species. So, mm-hmm. Erica, does that address your concern?
That's very helpful. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's certainly not. There's nothing derogatory in not taking from the cup. So you can work that out with your sponsor or whoever, but there's certainly no reason why you have to. It's not a proving of your faith or anything like that. Okay, Erica?
Okay. Thank you so much.
And congratulations
on
your recovery.
Okay. Ditto. Bye.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Scott Wieman, we're talking addiction, recovery, and Catholic faith this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's Street Evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
The Church has 2,000 years of wisdom to share on what it takes to live life gracefully.
And we're so overwhelmed by how much our faith has transformed our marriage and family especially. We want everyone to experience the incredible gift that the Catholic vision of life and love really is.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Tomorrow morning, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Scott Kellett, your host, in the studio here with us, Scott Wieman, who is the founder of Catholic in Recovery, but also we're joined by our good friend, assistant producer Marie. How are you, Marie?
I'm doing really well. Thanks. Thanks for having me in here.
And you wanted to let people know what?
I wanted to invite you to become a parish partner, a Catholic Answers parish partner. So it's very simple. You sign up by going to CatholicAnswersLive.com and clicking on Become a Partner, and then just fill out a few things there and submit it, and I will receive that and send you out some supplies for your parish. We've gotten some new things in lately, which are kind of fun, like bookmarks and different things. So if you want to spread the word about Catholic Answers in your parish, we would be so grateful, and I'd love to have you as a parish partner. So...
And we hear all the time, really, from people who have benefited from something that they got from Catholic Answers, whether it's a book or a magazine article, or they heard something on the podcast or the TV show. And so You really can be helping other people's faith because we're not doing anything here except explaining and defending the Catholic faith. We have no other agenda. So go to what's the website again there,
Marie? Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com and click Become a Partner.
All right, CatholicAnswersLive.com and click Become a Partner. Thank you, Assistant Producer Marie. Let's go now to Melissa in Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Melissa, your question for Scott Wieman.
Yes, I actually talked to you, Scott, a few months ago from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, St. Joseph the Worker Parish.
Yeah.
I talked to my pastor, and he right now doesn't think that this program is good for our thing. He is more concerned with, we have a lot of people in our parish that have been affected by sexual abuse, mostly as children, that some are suffering from addictions of different things and depression and all of those kinds of things. And I was just wondering if that we could incorporate some kind of a support group or whatnot with your program.
Yeah, so that's a great question. Thanks. It's great to hear from you, Melissa. You know, trauma, childhood trauma, and a variety of other things that come as a result, depression, oftentimes substance abuse or other addictions, attachments to individuals, challenging relationships with individuals that come as a result of childhood abuse or trauma, all, I think, very applicable and relevant to the 12 steps and both this and the sacraments. But, you know, what more than that, I think giving people an opportunity to unite with others who have similar experiences is really one of the things that is at the forefront or a pillar of what people find helpful in Catholic and recovery meetings. And so being able to do that within the confines of a church community or a parish, extremely helpful, especially, I don't know that the church's response, you know, may be different in each community or region, but I think that people are looking for more of a response from their parish. And of course, for many, that's the first place that they're going to deal with whatever wounds that they might have. So giving people an opportunity to unite and share experience, strength, and hope with others, critical. Now, there might be some things to be a little bit mindful or cautious of while working through the 12 steps through trauma, childhood trauma. Much of that, as we get into step 4 and step 5, is taking ownership for our part in whatever wrong that we've done. Of course, taking ownership of being a survivor of childhood trauma, there's no onus on the one who is the survivor. So we want to be careful about that. But however, as a result or life lived after the trauma, we do have choices and responsibilities, and making healthy choices, such as uniting with other people who have been in a similar situation and have found their way out, is really at the essence of what Catholic and recovery groups do and find. So I think that's your community and parish is ripe for an opportunity to bring people together to heal from wounds that may have taken place yesterday or decades prior.
What do you think, Melissa?
That sounds good. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, but your pastor is not wrong that we need a lot of help with us healing from sexual abuse. It may be that it also often a bishop is setting the kind of priorities there, and so he's trying to respond to what the bishop has asked the pastor to do. So maybe find out what the bishop's priorities are as well, and see if you can connect with those. Melissa, we'll say thanks very, very much for the call. We're talking healing and addiction today on Catholic Answers Live with Scott Wieman, who is the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments from Ave Maria Press, and he is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. 888-318-7884 is the question. Is the number, and any question is welcome. 888-318-7884. And we will go to Daisy in Yuma, Arizona. Yeah, right across the border from California here in Yuma, listening also on EWTN Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Your question for Scott Wieman. Hi, Daisy.
Hi. My question is kind of complicated because my dad is an alcoholic, and through time I have realized that he has had some other type of addictions, but we have been through therapy. We brought him to Cruzillo's hoping that it will help him to wake up and recover. but nothing has worked. And the therapist told us that he's not interested, but he doesn't want to recover. So now my thing is with my mom, that she's in a way in that circle. And she once in a while tells me that she wants us to help him to recover. She wants us to do something. And we have been told already that there is nothing we can do until he wants to do something. So it's effective. But I just don't know what to tell my mom. Like, I don't know what else to do.
Well, thanks for calling, Daisy. You're not alone. You're in a situation that is unfortunately very sad and unfortunately very common for it to be, you know, living in a house with a family member, particularly a parent that deals with alcoholism or addiction of other sorts, creates challenge, confusion, and chaos in a family. And oftentimes, you know, leads to a lack of predictability, something that as we're growing up and developing is a really important part of our growth, just to have trust in people and particularly those closest to us. And so, you know, dealing with a family member, a parent, a father, with alcoholism, challenging. My heart goes out to you. I know that you're, you know, especially not only a father, but also a husband with alcoholism, also a very challenging thing, and really puts us in touch with our powerlessness over alcohol and drugs. There's not much that we can do to change another person. We do not have any control over the will of others. In fact, you know, the control that we have over ourselves is in some ways limited, and I think that we get a little bit overly optimistic about how much we can initiate change by ourselves. Granted, this is why when we work through the 12 steps and speak of relying on a power greater than ourselves, which as we as Catholics, you know, as Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit, we need support. We can't do it on our own. Even if it's requiring change within ourselves, we can't do that on our own. Asking for us to change another person, challenging, nearly impossible. Of course, you know, attitudes can change and behaviors can shift, but this doesn't just automatically happen over time. What I would suggest, or what I, you know, not knowing much about your situation, but also knowing the common threads through these situations, is finding help yourselves. You know, when you're having conversations with your mom, you know, oftentimes families who have an alcoholic parent kind of fit into some variety of different roles, family roles. You might be the scapegoat. You might be the hero child. One may be the kind of the distant child that wants to just find, you know, distance themselves, not get in the way, not create further problems or stress. But having conversations with your mom when you're discussing your father about how his behavior affects you, that's really, you know, that conversation, and it may be direct and it may be very different from other conversations that you've had around this, but really speaking directly to the way that another person's behavior affects you can provide change and create an opportunity, and also the experience of understanding. And, you know, of course, I believe that you and your mom are both coming from a place of great love for your father, which probably adds to the frustration and the challenge of seeing him go through and, you know, put himself in harm's way and really not be able to shift or change or be the best version of himself that you know of him.
Okay, Daisy?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much for the call. We're talking addiction and healing today with Scott Wieman, the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. 888-318-7884 is the number. Up next is Deb in North Carolina, and apparently everybody's listening on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio today because Deb is as well. Deb, your question for Scott Wieman.
Hello.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hello. Hi. Good to talk to you, Scott. And I think it's a wonderful thing that you started the Catholic recovery groups. I'm a Catholic and a devout Catholic. And I've been in recovery 32 years in AA. I love it. I also attend Al-Anon, the other program. And quite often you'll hear in recovery meetings about, I'm a recovered Catholic. And from the very beginning of my recovery, that always, you know, hit a bad sour note with me. So I often bring up in a secular meeting, not to anybody's offense, but I bring up that I am a Catholic and I went back to my church filled with the Holy Spirit from recovery. and I have something better to give my church community. So that seems to hit a note with some of the people in the room. And, you know, and a lot of people have approached me about that. And so this is very, I was also a member of Calyx for many, many, many years, where we would have a mass first by a priest, and then we would meet for a meeting, and it was for all families and our recovering individuals in the program. So nice to meet you, and I'm looking forward to your meetings coming to North Carolina and Florida.
Well, you can bring them. Mm-hmm. Deb, I don't want to lay something on you as heavy as that, but you can bring them. But I noticed you nodded when she referred to going to a meeting and people saying, I'm a recovering Catholic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not unfamiliar.
Not unfamiliar, no. So that's, and awesome. Thanks for calling, Deb. It's really awesome. Great to hear your story and how you found a new life through recovery and are also sharing the good news about the faith in recovery meetings. I think that, you know, I noted before the secular nature of recovery meetings, 12-step meetings. It's that happens because I think in some ways that we Catholics that are in the rooms are a little bit afraid or timid to share about the good news of our faith. And so it's really important. And I believe that really the founders of 12-step recovery, the golden text of that being the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which was written in 1939 and has been since at least the first 164 pages unchanged, speaks to the fact that when we find recovery, we become better people in our communities. And it even mentions Christians being better Christians and being a presence that can be beneficial to others, not just those in our families or in our church, but elsewhere. And so keep up the great work, Deb. We look forward to bringing meetings to North Carolina and Florida.
32 years sober, too. Congratulations on that, Deb. It's a wonderful good news you share with us. If you have questions about addiction and healing, 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-31-TRUTH.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
How would you like to have the very best and faithful Catholic content delivered daily to your inbox? Articles, video, and audio, apologetics, current events, and commentary. The Catholic Answers Daily Newsletter includes all that and more, and it's easy to sign up. Just visit Catholic.com today and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front page. Keep up with what's happening in the Catholic Church with today's leading apologists, speakers, and writers delivered daily to your inbox. Catholic Answers Daily. Sign up today at Catholic.com and get better at defending your faith one day at a time.
After Jesus, who do you believe has most influenced the world?
Share with us on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now, let's return to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Don't forget, Carlo Broussard will be here second hour. We're going to prove that God exists. Well, we may not be able to do that in an hour, but we will have a conversation about whether it's rational to believe in God's existence and what the rationale might be. This hour, Catholic in Recovery founder Scott Wieman is here with us. He's also the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. And if you have questions about addiction and healing, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Up next is an anonymous caller in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Anonymous, your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi, hope. So my kind of question is, this is really interesting because actually last night I was talking with my wife about this program, because we have Scott's book, and we're Catholic, and we attend different various meetings. And the thing is that, you know, all the meetings that we have found are not in, in any Catholic church. Most of them are in other Christian denominations or non-denominational churches. And usually, just as the lady before said, we have encountered a lot of, some sort of rejection toward the Catholic faith. And a while ago, I took this to my pastor and asked him if it would be good for to have a program of a 12-step recovery program in the Catholic Church, in our Catholic Church. And we found rejection with it, and we found rejection with other Catholic churches based on judgment. You know, like, I feel that sometimes people have this as a taboo or judgment, or if you're an alcoholic, you know, you are a bad person, all these things. So we found a no for an answer. So my question is, how could you deal with this type of, you know, rejection within our own church?
Okay.
Yeah, great question. Thanks for calling. And that's not a new thing that I've heard either. You know, in some instances, I've heard pastors talk to me about, as having discussions about starting a Catholic in recovery group at their parish or in their community, and people saying, well, why would I want those people in my parish, or why would I want those
people?
Yeah, and which
I don't remember Jesus saying that.
It's baffling.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of speaks to, I think, some cultural trends within the church of having, you know, viewing our church as a museum for saints rather than a hospital for the wounded. And I believe that, yeah, just as you noted, you know, Jesus Christ probably would not have taken on that mindset, but would have spent time in relationship with the person struggling, the person deemed to be unfit or unholy. This was, you know, when I first came back to the church, and I came back, you know, not necessarily for the right reasons, but actually, if I'm honest, it was because I wanted to win back an ex-girlfriend who was very Catholic. But what I found then when I got into the church was a fellowship of individuals and relationship with Jesus that changed my life. I couldn't deny the what was happening in me, with me, and in the church community. So, you know, but I say that because I speak to my own hesitations of, you know, are people going to be judging me if I out myself, or if I talk about my recovery or my past, my dark past that I was quite ashamed of at the time, would I be accepted? Or, you know, do I need to meet this prerequisite level of holiness in order to be a part of the church? And, you know, unfortunately, I think that attitude, of course, is not a blanket attitude across the church itself, but it rests within individuals. And unfortunately, sometimes those individuals are pastors or leaders of our church. I would just have a conversation first about the magnitude of how much addiction impacts individuals. You know, a variety of types of addictions. Numbers suggest that about 10% of the U.S. population struggles with alcoholism. You know, we have the number of people dying from opiates each day is the number one leading cause of accidental death in the United States. And when we get into other behavioral addictions, such as pornography and sex addiction or compulsive overeating and gambling, we find that addiction touches nearly everyone, whether directly or indirectly. And so I think that for a church just to ignore that and assume that everyone that steps into the door is holy enough to be there is the wrong attitude. And so I might suggest just continuing to first further the truth, you know, speaking about how you or how others have been impacted positively by really humility, by finding a humble relationship with Jesus. And that begins by recognizing that every one of us are in need of a Savior. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but rather the sick.
Anonymous, thanks very, very much for that. Well, at least it gives maybe some folks listening something to think about, because when you say, like, why would I want those people? Those people are us. Like,
yeah.
That's us. That's our family. I mean, you really have to be in denial to not see that, I think. 888-318-7884, the number. Let us go now to, I believe, Melissa in Arizona is up next. Melissa, your question for Scott. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. So I'm calling because my son isn't recovered, and he is battling with opiate addiction and synthetic pills, and has gotten himself into a whole world of mess. And I'm finding it difficult to find programs that are available to him that are either faith-based and or affordable. And because he's an adult, I'm limited to the things that I can do. But he has held on to his faith, and I feel like it is one of those things that could very well fix his issues. But I really need some guidance or some resources so that I can get him into the right place.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Melissa. I know that, you know, your situation, dealing with a family member, a son in particular, struggling with opioids and other drugs is a challenging thing. And unfortunately, there are not a lot of affordable options. You know, when we talk about things like rehab or treatment or even day programs or outpatient programs, those often come at a cost. And, you know, the effectiveness can be, you know, up and down, or can vary from program to program. I think that's essentially why the church is, you know, can be a forefront, or can be a leader in really uniting people and bringing people together that struggle with a variety of different types of addictions. Now, you speak about your son's faith being what might save him, and I believe that to be true. I believe that faith and action combined is probably the best approach. And so, you know, kindling or creating, forming a relationship with God through prayer, through receiving the sacraments, and through fellowship in the body of Christ is essential. And as is finding other people who have been in a similar situation who can speak directly to the nature of what we've been through and help us out. For me, you know, I got sober at the age of 26, and I don't consider myself recovered in any way. You know, this is I get a daily reprieve based on the condition of my spiritual condition, really, the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And when I first got sober, you know, it was for many years, family members and loved ones and friends were speaking to me and saying, you know, seeing lost opportunities, lost relationships, and say, Scott, why don't you just cool down or slow down or just drink a little bit less? Or what about the girl? Or what about the job? And that, you know, I knew all about those things. I just couldn't physically stop drinking or using drugs or looking at pornography or eating compulsively. And it wasn't until someone who had gone through what I had gone through before could look me in the eye and say, Scott, I know exactly what you're going through. You don't ever have to drink again. That was a changing moment for me. And, you know, seeing that the investment, his investment in me and sharing time, which was largely just sitting together at a coffee shop for an hour or two in the morning after a meeting and speaking about what was going on, me kind of opening up the closet and letting out some of the things that seemed really, really scary that I wasn't sharing with anybody because just, you know, what was happening on the surface was bad enough. That was really essential for me changing and finding hope. And that's really the way that recovery works, is just one addict helping another. And so, you know, that really creates this line of fellowship, of closeness, of really relying on each other. And I believe that when we blend that with the sacramental life of the church, and what can happen is beyond our understanding, and God, you know, can do wonderful things.
So would you say, Melissa, that should be encouraging your son, get yourself to a 12-step program, or what do you say?
So this is again just the, you know, speaking about a family member. You can make suggestions.
Yeah.
But you can, those are, you know, may stick, may not.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, when we speak about like speaking to our children, oftentimes you will say one thing to them 10 or 20 times. Some random person will tell them the same thing and they'll say, hey, guess what I learned today? You know, it doesn't always stick when we're speaking in that way. But I think that's just maintaining first healthy boundaries with your son and not doing anything to enable the behavior, but also speaking to your love for him and how saddened you are by his actions, his behavior, and, you know, just I think leading with love is an important way to initiate the conversation.
Melissa, I'm going to just leave it there and hope that was helpful to you, because there are quite a few people on the line. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on addiction and healing with our good friend Scott Wieman right after this.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I have wanted to thank you so very much. Thank God. Thank God you guys are here for us. Believe it. I just can't believe all that you've done and how you've stuck with it. Many times when I think I can't do something, I think about some of the things that you've talked about.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm going to kind of go quick through the calls here. I'm going to give people a chance to talk and have a conversation because we're talking about addiction and healing. But I do want to give Scott Wieman the chance to talk to as many folks as he can. I want to remind you that Scott's organization is called Catholic in Recovery. You can find it at
www.catholicinrecovery.com.
I don't think you have to say the www anymore.
Okay.
I think we gave that up like 10 years ago, but all right, we'll go with that.
Can I also add?
Yeah.
You can find us on social media as well. So a lot of, okay. we not only provide
so
meetings
like go
and
to,
outlets.
So like go to like www.facebook?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Rudy in Colorado. What a pain in the neck I am sometimes.
Thank
Scott,
you,
I'm
thank
sorry.
You, sorry. That's nice.
Rudy in Colorado is watching on YouTube Live. Your question, Rudy.
Yeah, so just to kind of keep with the topic, I was wondering about, like, as far as free will versus God's plan. Because in this scenario where you're having a situation where you're talking about people making decisions, bad decisions, falling victim to addiction, if you believe that God has a plan for everybody, I feel like there's a contradiction there, and I don't understand why somebody would pray to alter God's plan if it's a perfect plan.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great question. I appreciate you calling, Rudy. And I don't know exactly where the idea of God having a plan is. I'm not sure if God has a plan or not. I believe that we have, you know, in the third step of recovery, say we come to believe, second step, come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Step three is make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. And so I think that, you know, if we look at our own will versus God's will, I believe that God's will is for us to accept and adapt to situations that are taking place and that only God's will can be met in the present. And so that idea of accepting and adapting to whatever is taking place around us is a very important part of the recovery process. Oftentimes, there's a lot of emotion and other things that can come that can get in the way of us accepting and adapting to what's taking place around us, especially when we have, you know, perhaps years of time spent, you know, using our addiction or on unhealthy attachments as a crutch or some kind of a behavioral adaptation to the things that are happening around us. And you know, when we learn to get rid of that, I know for me, there was no way that it was impossible for me to adapt to what God's will might be for me in a moment when I was actively drinking, using drugs, or in engaging in other addictions. Now, put the addictions aside, and you still have a lot of the same behaviors, dishonesty, manipulation that take place when we are using. And those are, again, adaptations in the way that we've adapted to circumstances around us. We need some internal, really, change to take place, and to we oftentimes look in recovery to other people that have been through a similar situation to find what's been helpful and what's been useful, and then through prayer and other sources of relationship with God, we can find what His will might be for us. Of course, you know, doing so and adapting to that perfectly is not something that we're capable of, but seeking progress in those areas, I think, an essential part of it.
Rudy.
Well, one more question I was going to ask you, since you're talking about that specifically and, you know, finding a higher power in order to, you know, get treatment of some sort. If you're genuinely trying to help people that are calling the show, I'm curious why you don't give them a gambit of options. When I was looking into some of the options, you know, myself a while ago, just to kind of see what's out there. It seems like there are secular options, kind of to touch base with that last caller, where if you're not trying to only do something through a specific lens, like being Catholic or Methodist or Baptist or Muslim or whatever your flavor is, you could just treat the actual symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you believe a higher power is the only way to do that, then that would be the culprit. But I've seen, it seems like the rates of success are much higher in secular rehab groups and rehabilitation groups than something like AA. It has a pretty low success rate, and
that's fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, many studies have been attempted and to get numbers or some statistical data on the efficacy of 12-step groups like AA or NA or OA or others. Those, I don't know that there's nearly, you know, the group or these fellowships are so unorganized in some ways, and intentionally so,
right,
that it's hard to collect or gather that data. I don't know that there's, I don't think that the church has a monopoly on healing. I also don't, I believe that there's a variety of ways that people can get sober. And, you know, seek a variety of different ways, both in recovery, secular recovery, Catholic in recovery, therapy, and the variety of different things. You know, there's groups, Smart Recovery is a group that is a non-faith-based approach to recovery, which uses more or less cognitive behavioral therapy techniques, and mm-hmm. it might be run a little bit differently, but in essence, it's really bringing people together that are struggling with a similar condition and sharing experience, strength, and hope on the solution.
So it is true, though, that the Catholic Church, I mean, if you have a medical problem, we want you to get medical help. If you have a psychiatric problem, we want you to get psychiatric help. If you mm-hmm. have an addiction problem, then get what, I mean, I don't know if there are medicines for addiction, but if there are, it would be perfectly fine. Catholic Church would say, go get them.
Yeah. And so I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I think that in some instances, some people might weigh a little bit too heavy on some of the faith-based approaches per se. So rather
right.
than taking personal responsibility and ownership of the scenario or just the circumstances that are present in one's life,
right.
We might think that, well, if I just said 5 more Hail Marys last night, I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in today, which then voids us of taking personal responsibility or doesn't yeah. give credit to the free will that we do have.
Right, right. The choice is yours.
Yes.
But man, the praying will bring all kinds of support to you, but
absolutely.
You got to make the choice. It's not somebody else's choice to make. Rudy, thanks for those very mm-hmm. helpful questions. I want to share something with you, Scott, from Facebook, Steve over on Facebook. I am an AA and a Catholic. Believe me, there is skepticism, cynicism, and outright contempt for the faith. This guy, that's you,
mm-hmm.
this guy isn't really speaking to that.
Yeah.
I refer to you from here on out as this guy.
That's fair.
But what do you make of that? I mean, this is a person who's in AA saying he's experiencing basically bigotry against the Catholic faith when he goes to AA.
Yeah. Again, this is, you know, everyone's experience is different. I get that. I hear what you're saying, and I feel that. Now, you know, and it sounds like you as well, you know, continue to go to those groups just like I do. And that's very powerful. And I think that, you know, for me, I am willing to tolerate, you know, take some patience and other things like that, but tolerate some of the rhetoric or other people sharing their lived experience with the church.
Yeah.
Because of the other the benefits that it gives. And it also allows me to be a presence within a meeting like that where I can speak to the good news. And so, you know, the skepticism, the cynicism, and the bigotry, I understand that. I get that. You know, there are a variety of different meetings in oftentimes, you know, in any kind of community that you're in. And so you might find some that are a little bit more anti-Catholic than others. But I believe that we as Catholics should be in those groups and having a presence where we can speak to the beauty of our faith. And oftentimes, you know, even as mentioned before, you know, in the recovery literature, it speaks to the fact that we should be relying on the faith of our upbringing or the faith that we live to strengthen our recovery. Those things, you can't really separate the two. They are so intertwined. Unfortunately, some people have had some negative lived experiences with the church.
Yeah.
Being able to share about those. Now, I think that it's a little bit against the traditions of recovery.
To do that.
To just sit there and say, you know, I'm angry, I'm resentful.
Yeah.
Like, you know, actually through the 12 steps, we would take ownership of our part in that resentment and do what we can to clean it up.
Yeah.
I think too oftentimes, you know, the emotional attachment that comes with those feelings towards the church that people are sharing cynically or skeptically, it makes a barrier for actually doing anything about it.
Getting that, yeah, right. Fair enough. From getting the healing from that.
But thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Denise in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio is next. Denise, your question for Scott Wieman.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Denise.
My sister passed away less than 2 months ago because her liver was destroyed from alcohol and opioid meds. She had an injury, so she got started on opioids for the pain, and then she worked with the doctor to help her wean herself off, but the drinking had been a problem for years. So how do we, the ones that were left behind that encouraged her to get well, that we're just devastated by this? I don't know. We're just trying to wrap our head around how we go on. I know she was an adult woman who was making her own choices, but this has left us wondering if we should have done more, should have said more. Her husband apologized to us for not being the husband he should have been and working with her more. You know, there's just a lot of guilt going around.
Yeah, I can understand. Thanks for sharing, Denise. I imagine that these feelings are still very raw and should be and probably will be. I think familiarizing ourselves with the stages of grief can be very helpful to kind of know what's coming and understand that it's not a linear process, but one that we, you know, dodge between a kind of bounce between a number of different things, such as denial and bargaining and anger and depression. It's before we get to acceptance, and it can take a long time to get there. And I don't think that acceptance doesn't necessarily mean approval, but rather accepting the fact that we are powerless over the behaviors of other people can be a really challenging thing, especially when they've passed and we see the tragedy that remains and the sadness. I think that, you know, the love that you have for your sister, her husband, and others in the family probably still remains, but can be a very sad thing. And I don't think that mourning over that or finding faith through the confusion and sitting and resting in that confusion is a challenging thing, but I think that it's a good way to honor your sister by resting in that and just standing in some of those hard feelings and emotions.
Is there anything that, there's a way in which you have already told several callers you can't change somebody else. But if someone dies in their addiction, I imagine the feeling, what else could I have done, must be overwhelming.
It's got to be, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Denise?
I appreciate his words. It's really hard to sit with some of the feelings for very long because, mm-hmm. you know, we feel like we're drowning.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so, so much compassion for my sister's husband who's been left. He's lost. Mm. He is just totally lost. And he prays to God but doesn't really have a faith community, so I'm concerned for him. I have a very strong Catholic faith, and I know we'll make it, and God's taking care of her.
Yes.
I just want to, it's hard because I've not been in this situation previously, and It's just uncharted waters.
Yeah. I might seek resources. The other people who have been through similar situations, family members of addicts and alcoholics who, you know, gathering on a pretty regular basis throughout the country can share some of their experience, strength, and hope with you. Also, I think that on this note that, you know, it can be very simple or I think an easy thing just to fall into taking personally the behaviors of an addict. And so whether it's a father or family member or a friend or loved one, you know, sometimes we can take it personally that they're behaving this way. Is it something that I've done? Is it something that they're doing something because of something I said or did? Or it's not a personal matter. It's oftentimes a cunning, baffling, and powerful disease, if you want to look at it from a disease model. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm sorry to hear that your sister hadn't found the cure before she had lost the battle. And I think that commemorating her, honoring her life and who she is, understanding, you know, really recalling and knowing her as the person aside from the addiction is a very important thing. And a presence of an addiction is not a referendum on one's life. It just is a tragic thing that someone, like we, when we lose someone to cancer, it's just, in some ways it's beyond their control, or you know, they haven't taken the measures to seek help.
Denise, I have to leave it there. You certainly are in many, many people's prayers, as is your brother-in-law, and as is your sister, who, as you said, is in the hands of Jesus now. And I'm so happy to hear you that you do take comfort in that. But we're done, and I apologize for that. Scott, how can people get in touch with you if they want to get into a Catholic in Recovery group or they want to start a Catholic in Recovery group?
Start at CatholicInRecovery.com. You'll find a directory of our meetings. Find the meeting tab. You can submit an inquiry to start a meeting at your parish or in your community, or find a meeting around the country. You can otherwise email me, Scott@CatholicInRecovery.com.
And don't forget, Jesus loves you. That's an important thing to remember.
Mm-hmm. And you're not alone.
Amen, brother. 888-318-7884 is the number. And if you're one of those people who maybe would like some evidence for the existence of God, or for some evidence that it's rational to believe in God, we got Carlo coming in next, and he'll be happy to talk with you. Scott Wieman, thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Si.
CatholicInRecovery.com, and the book is The 12 Steps and the Sacraments from Ave Maria Press. We'll be right back with Carlo and the existence of God right after this.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.